pretty relaxed up here. It shouldn't bother you that I come have a drink of water. Happy New Year. Festively exchanged a month from today may seem a strange greeting for this morning, and yet it is still right and good and proper and correct. This first Sunday of Advent is New Year's Day of the church year, of the church calendar, and I do and can wish you Happy New Year of a season that is ambivalent with fear and excitement, with joy and foreboding. The anticipation can be so thick that you can cut it with a knife, because Advent, he comes. But who comes? And how does he come? And menacingly, why? Why does he come? The Son of Man comes. The Son of Man comes with the holy angels and the glory of God the Father to judge the living and the dead. Our scripture this morning is apocalyptic, which is typical for this first Sunday of Advent, anticipating the great and terrible day of the Lord, a day of darkness, of deep darkness, and not light. Even our gospel this morning is not good news, for the Son of Man comes when least expected to judge and to refine with purifying fire. Be forewarned, this is more sinister than purchasing a used car that some little old lady only drove to church on Sunday. This coming of the Son of Man at an unexpected hour is part of the package that you get when you are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's part of the deal. It's part of your covenant with the Creator of all that is, visible and invisible, seen and unseen. Now, for most of us here, the hour is too late, darkening to bitter chill before any sign of dawn. But as for you, if you are not part of the group yet, I suggest you run for the hills. I remember a million years ago in my life, it was 1965, actually, as a young Navy lieutenant on shore duty in the Far East, I boarded a Navy plane in Tokyo. And we took off and flew across the Sea of Japan to South Korea. And landing in Seoul, there from Seoul, I took a staff car to an outlying Marine Corps base and presented myself to the commanding officer with written orders to audit his base finances. The colonel was furious at being caught by surprise, and probably even more at being surprised by a junior officer. He was angry, and I will tell you that a raging Marine colonel is not a pretty thing. He said I would not conduct the audit, that he was forbidding it. And I said, "Sir, as you see by my orders, I'm not here on my own authority. This is a surprise audit by the Secretary of the Navy." He was not a happy colonel, neither then on my arrival nor later when I was done and filed my report, and neither may you be when the Son of Man arrives on Judgment Day if you are not ready to face him. Advent, then, is your warning to get ready. St. Paul, from whom comes today's Romans reading, along with many people of his day and age, gospel writers as well, including our gospel writer this morning, St. Paul, lived in apprehension. Paul, you see, expected the end of the world at any moment. In his lifetime, for sure, Jesus Christ returning to reestablish God's reign on earth, not only judging living people, but even recalling from the dead back to life people for final judgment. And those who were under the God of Israel would be saved into God's kingdom. All others would be doomed. Paul's ministry, therefore, was to bring the Gentile world out of paganism into the faith of Jesus Christ. What is that? Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the day of salvation. Advent is the season. Baptism is life's moment to turn to the gospel. And in the gospel, Jesus, you see, does not teach tradition. He does not teach customs, rules, and canons. Jesus Christ does not establish or lead business ventures. Jesus tears down the shrines of men, the temples we build. If you were here last Sunday, you heard the gospel last week. Not one stone left upon another. And so, therefore, our opening collect a few weeks ago, O God, whose blessed Son came into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil and make us children of God and heirs of everlasting life, grant that having this hope, we may purify ourselves as he is pure, that when he comes again with power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Christ came and comes again to destroy the works of the devil, which is everything that we have made and everything that we worship and honor that is not of God who is love and love alone. Love, how we treat each other, how we treat God, how we treat those around us, those less fortunate than we, both at home and around the world, the poor and hungry, those who had no supper last night, those who had no shelter to sleep last night, who will be naked today and cold tonight, those who are sick and diseased and hurt and broken and cannot afford medical care. Before you come for baptism or stand for the rest of you to renew your baptismal covenant with God, hear and understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about your personal salvation into some world to come, but about your loving work in this world to save those around you, a vocation to life, to live and love and work that Jesus made clear by personal example throughout his earthly ministry. And his earthly ministry exemplified lowly birth, humble spirit, loving kindness of generosity, healing, feeding, commanding us to feed and clothe and teach and heal. And finally, when he might have saved himself, or called upon God the Father to come down and save him, dying humbly and in excruciating pain for others as the divine example of how he calls us also to live and die for others. That's what the cross is all about, and that's what it means to be baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Love and sacrifice. Love and sacrifice. And so if you want to get out, flee for the hills, run for your life before it's too late. Save yourself. The Christian church is the body of Christ that is not about saving ourselves, but about serving and saving the world in the name of Jesus, precisely as Jesus himself served and saved and lived and died. I tell you this morning, this is the gospel of Advent. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, Christ comes again in and as each and every Christian who's baptized in his name. And so therefore, in the name of God, I invite you, I dare you, I challenge you to recommit your life to Jesus Christ this very morning and his gospel of saving the world in his name. If this turns you off, if you decline, you may remain seated without prejudice when the others stand, or you may stand and simply remain silent. But if you accept the invitation to recommit your life to Jesus on this first day of Advent when we baptize a tiny child, you will be given the chance to do so in our sacrament of holy baptism that now follows. I say these things to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.